Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the P1 podcast with Matt and Tommy. And my goodness me, look at the energy being displayed by Tom Bellingham this morning. If you tuned in on Twitch, you would have seen one of the most energetic performances from Tommy we have ever seen. Of course, we are recording this at 4:55 in the morning. I'm still on a little bit of China time, so I'm doing, I wouldn't say okay, but I'm living and breathing, so that's a good start. Tommy, let's talk about the sprint, because we have got two podcasts today. This one, and then we're also going to reflect on qualifying later as well. All the content, because we don't want to just be like, oh yeah, the sprint, blah, blah, blah. No, let's give it the credit and the spotlight it deserves.
Yes, maybe it deserves it. It's weird that it's flipped around now. It makes it a little bit weird, in my opinion, and we'll get onto this later, that, yeah, you have the race before qualifying now. This is the fourth year in a row we've had a different sprint layout. Fun times.
Is it the fourth? Wow. They really keep tweaking
it. It's almost like they have no idea what they want to do with it.
Hey, let's not slander it, because I have good things to say about it. And there's a question from Anax_MaxTech. Opinion about the format change? Feels like a big W than last year. I prefer it. I think it's much better. I think they are trying to get some sort of competitive action on Friday. If they want to do that, put the thing that's probably least important in terms of competitiveness on the Friday, and that's what they've done. They've done sprint quali for then. Does it give fans more of a reason to go on a Friday if they weren't going to originally? I don't know. Maybe not, because it's not a lot of running. But still, I prefer it. I think that it's definitely an improvement, because having proper qualifying on Friday, I was not a massive fan of. Whereas this, yep, we've had a little race. We've seen that Max Verstappen is going to win by 300 laps. Now we've got proper qualifying coming up. We need him to be knocked out in Q1. Lots of learnings from the sprint. But no, I prefer it. I think it is an improvement.
Oh, goody. We finally disagree on something.
Oh, come on. Let's have it out right now. We're two tired men. Come on.
I am of a different opinion, and I think an unpopular one, because it does seem like people prefer this one more. However, I think that having a qualifying session now, today, after we had that sprint, makes the sprint even deader, in my opinion. It's so, it makes it so irrelevant, and it already feels quite irrelevant to have like a mini race for very little points. And I think now I appreciate that people wanted it to kind of be a separate thing. And the thing we hated was that mini sprint day in the middle that had no relevance to the Grand Prix. It didn't build. And this now kind of feels like you get the sprint done and then you move on. But this sprint race is going to be so irrelevant in like 2 hours' time. We don't get to sort of absorb it and dwell on it. And some people might like that, the fact that it's like sprint's done, out the way, whatever. But the more I think about it, the more I actually kind of like the first version of it, where the sprint had that was the qualifying order, because it at least created some kind of jeopardy and it was a bit different. I think the main thing for me is that the sprint should feel different to the race. And at the moment, it's just a miniature version of the race weekend beforehand. And I don't
like
that.
So when you say the sprint should be different to the race, you don't, because you just said that you liked the fact that it was part of the Grand Prix weekend, but now you're saying that you want it to be different. Are you saying because
a different lottery? a different kind of thing, because at the moment it is just a miniature race that's shorter. The thing that's said all the time is it's a bit of a spoiler for the race. The qualifying's exactly the same, just shorter. just make it something different. And that is what annoys me the most about it, because it's a chance to do something a little bit crazy. And if the team say, I don't like it, say, jog on, teams, it's not your decision. I don't care if Christian Horner doesn't want reverse grids, he can jog on, because make it fun.
Yeah, everyone, I think there's a fine balancing act, I think, with this, where you don't want to make a sprint too gimmicky, where you just chuck them all on the softest tyres possible and they all degrade, and it's, okay, it would be chaos, but you do have to have a line of, okay, what is sport and what is entertainment here? And I think that, one, I did like the fact the sprint had some kind of jeopardy towards the race weekend, but also I do quite like this format, especially more than last year. And I feel it all comes down to us not having a championship fight. If we have a championship fight, that sprint means a lot more, and every point matters, and it has that jeopardy no matter what. But because we're going through a domination of Verstappen era, that it does make the sprint feel like it's a lot less important. So I think it's more around the connotations of the championship. And yeah, I think that adding a layer of, okay, it is different tyres for the sprint, would work better. You know, but again, you have to think of, right, what are they trying to do here environmentally and bringing less tyres to tracks and all that sort of stuff. So I'm sure there are reasons why they don't do it, but there has to be some give, I think, with, because I agree that the sprint needs to be different in some ways, but let's not go too crazy with it.
I disagree on that. I think it should be crazy. Otherwise, what is the point of doing it? You might as well just have a normal race weekend. And it is meant to be a novelty thing where it's only a few a year. So why not make it a bit fun rather than just having a crapper version of the race?
So you can tell it's an early morning podcast.
Without pit stops or that kind of stuff. And also, oh, just said it so many times, but like, what is the point for the midfield even racing? It's just pointless. Like, why have they gone through a whole session? Like, Zhou Guanyu, the poor guy, should be getting points at home for that. He's finished a brilliant P9.
But should he, though, in a sprint, in a 19-lap race, should he be getting points?
Well, I don't know. Like, but the problem is, like, if you're not going to reward points, why would they even turn up? Do you know what I mean? That's why
they are rewarding points. It's the top eight, and that's unfortunately what Formula One is at the moment.
I guess you can argue that it's the same in the race, that it's top five teams. But that's why, weirdly, I liked the fact that just as a one-off, it did decide the sprint. So, like, you know, the argument would be that in qualifying, Max had a bit of a stinker, and then he's got through the field, so then he'd start on pole the next day. But equally, if it had gone the other way and he'd locked up, then it can change. So I like the fact that it did kind of create a bit of jeopardy for... there was also those talking points of, like, every move matters as well, rather than it just being like the miniature teaser of the race.
God, look at that. We've gone to battle at 5 a.m. An amazing moment. I'm sure everybody has got their popcorn out. But yeah, it's an interesting thing, and we'd love to hear from you as well about how you sit on sprints. And I think it is a dangerous thing to change sprints so much, when I think more of the focus needs to be on the actual cars and the racing, and the fact that is actually the thing that is the problem here. Because we know that Formula 2, they don't have the most ridiculous sprint races. They don't have, you know, C7 tyres going around and needing the degradation. It's just Formula 2, and the sprint format works really well there. So, but then they do, of course, also have a slight reverse of that grid. So
that we can plenty, agree on.
Yes, plenty of, yeah, Formula 2 is a very good format. But yeah, Formula 1 teams have a little bit more weight about what happens. And as Tommy says, they should all jog on. Right, let's talk about the race then, shall we? My goodness me, that was a good old chat, wasn't it, before we actually spoke about the sprint. Okay, let's begin with Lando Norris. Starting on pole position, what a great sprint. Takes pole by over a second. Is today the day? No. It's difficult to watch. Lando, desperation is probably the one word that I would use to describe how he drove in that first lap. It's Lewis Hamilton. He's on the inside. Lando, of course, there is an opportunity to sweep around the outside, but the problem is he wasn't far enough ahead. to ever justify continuing that move, especially when you think of the low grip track surface. There's going to be a bit of time to bed in the tyres. We could see all the cars have been struggling this weekend for grip, just purely because it's been a new track surface and all the other factors. So for me, of course, this is the benefit of hindsight, but that's the whole point of analysis and looking at what a driver has done. And I think that Lando will regret trying to do that, especially on a 7-time Formula One world champion, to try and hang it around the outside. He's always going to wash you wide. He didn't mean to. Hamilton just got a bit of a swapper, but he's always going to aim for his car to be pushing that racing line so that Lando can't go around the outside. It's a standard textbook move for turn one China, try and hang it around the outside and get the inside for turn two. Hamilton's going to cover it off every day of the week. And unfortunately, Lando felt the wrath of that today. So I think that there's going to be some learnings for Lando. And I am sad for him, but it was his mistake.
Yeah, it is a shame. The fact that there is, of course, this whole narrative now over Lando, and is he going to get that win, even if it is just a sprint win? And then literally at the first turn, it all goes wrong and he plummets down the order. It was just an unnecessary risk, I guess. The problem for him is he's, in his head, he probably thought, this is my chance with Max further down the order. Of course, now we know that was not the case. And if he'd maybe settled, he might have got Hamilton back later in the race and been able to finish 8 seconds behind Verstappen or something. But the problem is, at the time, I bet going through his head was, well, I need to stay ahead because this is my chance to win. And it was a bit bin or win, I guess, or like do or die in that first turn, which you can argue it was not the right way to go.
And what I'll say on that, and that is a strange mentality to maybe have had going into turn one, is that I would have had slightly more understanding if that was Max Verstappen that he was fighting into turn one, thinking, I have to stay ahead of him. He's going to clear off if not. But that was Hamilton, a Mercedes that we well and truly think is probably fifth fastest, or at least comparable with Aston Martin. Lando could have just tucked in and probably got Hamilton when DRS was activated. But instead, he lost all those positions and then got stuck in the DRS train. A strange mentality to have had, I think, because losing the lead into turn one is not the worst thing in the world. There's plenty of, we thought there was plenty of overtaking opportunities around China, perhaps just a DRS train. But on a draggy Mercedes versus a McLaren with DRS down that back straight, I think he takes the lead back pretty soon after.
Yeah, he did it was the right thing, I think, in terms of have a little go around the outside. But as soon as that gap was closing, he just needed to back off, cut down the inside, and then get a run into the next corner. Because as we saw in that race, China turn one is so good for that you can take different lines. And you never know, he might have got a better line into that next heavy braking zone, because you can, the beauty of that whole first sector in China is that you can run wide, take different lines, and that would have been good to see. But it's just so painful to watch. And the fact that it happened so quickly, it's like, could Lando win? No,
exactly. Painful. Very sad. P1 Patreon member Miss Sophie Walsh comes in with a question. Do you think Lando just needs confidence and practice at starts, especially when he's P1? He seems to struggle when he's in a high position, coming from a Lando fan. I don't really know how you would answer that in a good way. He just needs more practice being P1. Like, you're a Formula One driver, you have to utilize and be as efficient as possible when you have these moments. Oscar is a great example of that. He is slower than Lando, I would say, in a race, and perhaps slightly on over one lap as well. And yet Oscar Piastri has a sprint win because he delivered as soon as he was given that opportunity. So I don't think you can. I don't think it's fair for me to sit here and say, yeah, Lando just needs a bit more practice being at the front. My guy's won lots of races in junior formula. He's had plenty of podiums. I don't think that's something that can even be factored in, really.
No, definitely not. Of course, the problem for Lando is the Russia thing. Sorry to mention it was such a standout moment, and unfortunately has become like this thing in his career that people have like brought up time and time again, and I don't,
which
is insane because I don't think it's fair. It was a 50-50, exactly, you know, call. He'd have looked like a genius if he'd gone the other way. You know, the man can't predict rain. It was a tough decision.
And let's not forget as well, he had defended from Lewis Hamilton the entire race. It's not like he bottled it.
And was leading in a McLaren that was a midfield car for that season. So he did a fantastic job. Like, it was one moment that unfortunately has put, yeah, a lot of pressure on him. And yeah, you just hope that it doesn't become a thing because, yeah, the fact that he went off. I mean, you know, there'll be a lot of people going, oh, Lando bottled P1 because he made a mistake. One, he's never going to beat Hamilton anyway. Two, Lewis Hamilton locked up and lost the lead. Do you know what I mean? Like, Hamilton made a mistake when he was leading.
Never going to beat Hamilton anyway. Do you mean Verstappen?
Sorry, never going to beat Verstappen. It's early.
I was like, wait, are we back in Russia again? Wait, what's going on?
Never going to beat Verstappen anyway. And yeah, Lewis Hamilton also locked up from the lead. And there's not going to be a question of like, oh, has Hamilton forgotten how to win? Is he bottling the lead now? He doesn't know how to lead anymore. It's just an unfortunate incident, in my opinion.
Certainly is.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Next question, Ryan Lane memes. Was that DRS train worrying for tomorrow's full race? I don't think fully. Of course, it was difficult to watch at times, but it did breed a little bit of chaos at the end. I think Fernando clearly demonstrating some pretty good top speed as well. But you have to factor in as well, there is going to be elements of strategy here. Everyone was sat on the medium tyres, the same, you know, the same tyre life for everybody bar George Russell on soft tyres. So there are going to be other factors to throw in that perhaps won't breed such a difficult to watch DRS train. But yeah, it's still a little bit concerning, but I'm not too concerned that we're going to get as bad as we did in the sprint.
No, I think part of it as well is that they were, of course, you know, all on the same tire. They were doing the same thing, if you like. They didn't have a pit stop to come, so they were just sort of like biding their time towards the end. And then when you did get to the end, it is that risk versus reward, and some drivers were very risky in terms of like what they did at the end, but it was always going to happen at the end. What was the point going for an absolute dive bomb right at the start? It was difficult to overtake. It's that weird balancing in Formula One where when Lewis Hamilton was leading, we wanted it to be hard to overtake so Max wouldn't clear off and easily win. And in a way, Max was one of the only people that when his battery got working, could kind of easily pass and then check out because no one else really did that. So yeah, it was unfortunate to see, but I did really enjoy the battle. Again, it was that fight behind Max between Perez, Max's teammate, and then a load of other of the top cars, which we seemed to get a lot. And it was really cool to see. There was a lot of, when it actually did start to kick off,
yeah,
boy, was it good.
it was bubbling for a while, and then it did eventually happen when Fernando lost his tyres. So there's a question, I guess, about Max first and foremost. Lex de Great says, can Max be forced to run with an anchor attached to his car? Well, we kind of saw a virtual anchor in the first few laps where his battery was flat, and that gave us a great season because he was slotted in third. And he was about the same pace as the two cars ahead. And then his battery decided, you know what, I'm going to recharge now. And then he won by 13 seconds in a 19-lap sprint where he took the lead in lap 9. It's slightly, very significantly ominous for tomorrow. I think Max does genuinely have this one in the bag. But I think we all thought that coming into this, although we did think and wonder about the variables of a new track surface, and I think, you know, we even said in the first couple of laps, oh, are Red Bull washed? Is this a Singapore? No, it's just Max was running probably about 80% power.
Which shows that, yeah, if he did run on 80% power, we've said so many times that if Red Bull just dropped into that pack, I say Red Bull, if Max Verstappen dropped into that pack, it would be incredibly close, and that's exactly what we got, because Perez was fighting those other cars. Max was fighting those other cars when he had the battery. I think Red Bull do have a big advantage. I think the fact that once Perez got through, he left them for dead as well. I think that is quite ominous as well for a potential Red Bull 1-2, but the others battling, we just need Red Bull to rein back into the pack for a bit of action, but certainly
not going to happen.
Bro. No, it won't. Not with the rules as they are and stuff.
Now let's talk about that battle for P3, because that was fantastic to watch. First question comes in from P1 Patreon member Sierra_H. With Carlos not having a seat for next year, do we think he was a little bit too aggressive, specifically with Leclerc? Now, I'm not sure. Well, I know why the storyline is coming out the way it is. It's because Charles said at the end of the race that he feels as though Carlos was battling him more than others. I think that Charles may have been looking elsewhere when he saw Carlos dive bombing Fernando Alonso at every single corner and fighting for his life and his future seat, perhaps. I don't think that, of course, there was that moment into the hairpin where Carlos has outbraked himself a little bit, has pushed Leclerc wide. But I do think he was too aggressive overall. I don't think he was too aggressive with specifically Leclerc. I think just that whole last few laps, Carlos perhaps did a little bit too much. Like, for example, the Fernando Alonso move that he did, attempted move, which pushed Fernando wide just before we go around that long right-hander onto the back straight. That was, you know, very aggressive from Carlos. I feel as though perhaps he was quite, you know, G'd up, quite, you know, the blood was properly flowing after his side-by-side action a few corners before. So he was like, I'll send it again. And it didn't pay off, unfortunately, and it looked as though he maybe cooked his tyres for the last couple of laps. So, yeah, he was a little bit too aggressive. I think he could well have still finished P3 had he been a bit more measured in those last couple of laps.
Yeah, Carlos is one of those drivers, I think. Despite having that nickname of smooth operator, I think he is, when he is actually racing people, he is actually very aggressive. And it's fun to watch.
Brings the spice, you know what I mean?
Brings the spice, yeah. He does, but it's good to watch because he is forceful. He likes to make, you know, daring moves and stuff. And that's what I like watching. And
I know you do.
I know. It's unfortunate, actually, because in a way, you know, Carlos maybe should have waited for just an easy DRS pass down the main straight, although we did see that was actually quite difficult. Yeah, it was actually a lot more difficult. I think the wind direction made the DRS not as powerful by the sound of it, where normally. So they were forced to make these moves in unconventional places, which, my word, like, I do love DRS, and this is Boomer Tommy talking now, but I love seeing overtakes at different parts of the track where it's unexpected. That's what I want to see. I want to see moves where you don't just know that they're waiting for a DRS motorway pass where they can get him easily, it is like a late lunge where you're not expecting it. And the first move that Carlos did on Alonso was absolutely brilliant because he got such good traction out that slow turn five, I want to say. So he lined it up essentially in that move, got Alonso, and then I think it was all triggered really by Alonso's kind of dive bomb back to try and get ahead again. And then once that happened, it all kind of broke loose. But I just think they were racing fine, and it's always more in the spotlight when you race your teammate aggressively. But I think it was what it was. Like, I don't think there was any one moment. It wasn't like Carlos was ramming Leclerc off the track every single corner, which seems like that's what the reaction has been. There was just one moment where he did run him a bit wide, and then we had a nice little battle. I think Leclerc and Sainz have actually had such brilliant racing together. It is very close, and they get so close to having contact that maybe it does seem a bit aggressive. But you can argue that they're two of the drivers in history that have had such close contact without actually having this big, crazy crash that we have been essentially expecting for 4 years now and hasn't happened. So I thought it was brilliant.
So did I. It was great entertainment. And speaking of contact, a question from the F1 Dream. What was Alonso thinking when attacking Sainz after being clearly overtaken? Ruined his race. Well, Fernando's was just racing. There was a slight wheel bang which gave him a puncture, and I think he was very unfortunate for that. But I think that's the benefit of hindsight there, thinking, oh well, it ruined his race because he got a puncture. It wasn't as if he's done some unorthodox crazy move. It was just brilliant racing once again, and he was fighting to defend his position because he knew that if he let through Carlos, then the whole train was coming through probably. Yeah, I thought it was brilliant racing. It was unfortunate for Fernando, but I don't think we can criticise the way he was driving.
No, and he's having fun, I think, in my opinion. He knows that, I think he's alluded to this, is his final contract, if you like. And he wants to make the most of it. And he went for, you know, he's gone for the moves. He's enjoying himself. Why sit and wait? When you can go for that move. Like, he's Fernando Alonso. He's always done that kind of thing. He is an old school driver that isn't going to wait for the DRS to pass you. If he sees a gap, he's going to go for it. And yeah, it was very risky, but we've said many times, that's what I like seeing in Formula One, and more of it, please.
Absolutely. So yeah, that pretty much wraps up a very long sprint chat, although a lot of it was about the format at the start. Hopefully you enjoyed. Hopefully you enjoy the two podcasts that we're releasing today. Big shout out to Zhou Guan Yu as well. I know we mentioned him in the format bit, but to finish P9 and to pretty much gap the rest of the midfield around his home race in a stake is a very, very good drive from him. Unfortunate for his teammate Bottas, of course, for picking up that end plate issue when it was actually contact with his teammate, I think. Interesting to see if Zhou can actually score some points, but he'll need a good qualifying later today. Tommy, what are your final thoughts, please, sir?
Let's have another qualifying later like we did yesterday, please. Is that too much to ask?
Rain? Is there any more rain on the horizon?
I hope so. Let's have probably not.
Shanghai weather? No.
Okay, sorry, just grass fires then. Something. Spice it up.
Grass fire. We don't want grass fires.
No. That's joking.
We don't want that. Right, that's it. Thank you so much, everybody. We will see you later on for the qualifying rundown. And yeah, we'll be live on Twitch and all that good stuff. And yeah, and then the race tomorrow. See you soon. Lots of love. Bye.
Bye.
Make sure you follow us on all of our socials. We're MattP1Tommy on Twitter, TikTok, Twitch, and Instagram. You can also sign up to our Patreon at the link in the episode notes for ad-free episodes, full video interviews, and extra bonus episodes for as little as $5 a month. Finally, make sure you're following us on Spotify. See you soon.
P1 is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Thank you. Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.